2 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you would please, 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s. You are dismissed. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. This will kind of be our jumping off place this morning, and then we're going to go to lots of other places. Now, I must admit to you this morning that originally I did not develop this message for you. But just as continued to work through it, the Lord said, you know, your people can use this too. I developed it for another opportunity that we have in March to speak at a place. But I think it will be something that will really challenge us as we look through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." If you walk into my office between two bookshelves, the first part of this text is stenciled into my office. If we were to write out what Paul is really saying, he would say something like this: "I would most gladly incur an expense or expend and be exhausted by expending and will be spent for you." That's the idea of what he's saying. He's emphasizing this. I'm going to wholly pour myself out. I will incur expense if that's what it, necessary. I'll be exhausted and I will be expended for you. That's ministry sometimes, isn't it? That's moms at home with children sometimes, isn't it? That's just life sometimes. As a matter of fact, the last part of the verse, we could say there, "Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Though to the greater degree or the exceeding sacrifice that I have for you, your love becomes more and more inferior in sacrifice to me. You ever felt that way? Ever felt totally expended, totally exhausted, totally pouring yourself out, and it's like, what? That's what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. I'd like to preach a message this morning on the subject of refreshment. Refreshment. The term refreshment means the act of refreshing or the state of being refreshed. The word refresh is multifaceted. It can mean to provide new vigor or energy by rest, food. It can mean to make fresh again, to cheer a person in their mind, their spirits, and so forth. The synonyms for the word is to invigorate or to rejuvenate or to renew. It's actually pretty surprising how much the Bible talks about the idea of refreshing. The word in its root means simply a cooling. You ever had a hot summer day where you're just pouring with sweat and you come in on the porch or whatever and there's maybe a nice glass of lemonade or sweet tea? Who would drink tea without it being sweet? Dale. We were talking the other day, and he's like, "You run it that way." I'm like, "Dale, you just don't understand how refreshing that can be." My wife and I's anniversary was Wednesday, and we went to a restaurant, and they were out of Coke. I'm like, yes, it was a day I could drink what I wanted. Most of the time, I can have water. And I'm like, "How do you run out of Coke at a restaurant? Are you kidding?" And I said, "Well, is the tea good?" She said, "Yes, I think it is." I'm like, I'm pretty picky when it comes to my tea. And it was actually very good. Matter of fact, if I'd have known it was that good, I would have chosen that over Coke. Of course, the Lord knew all that, didn't he? Which is kind of neat. And it was refreshing. It was great. The word refresh means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. To give rest or to refresh, to give one's self a rest or to take a rest. To keep quiet of calm and patient expectation. Rest. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12 says, "6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed." In other words, God says one of the reasons why I created for 6 days and rested on the seventh is because I want everybody to be refreshed at the end of the day. That includes your animals. Amazing that God cared enough about them. And it's very interesting to watch people disobey this who don't even understand it and the results of it. People have figured out that you can't keep running animals this way. They'll eventually drop. You can't keep running human beings that way. They have to rest. Companies, secular companies have figured out, you know what, if we work guys 7 days a week, eventually production drops. Statistics are out there for it. Duh. God knew that. He knows how we function. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh he rested and was refreshed. That's God. Think about that. What? God rested and was refreshed? Don't you struggle with that theologically some? But the point is, God says, hey, you need this. Are you better than God? That's what you're saying when you don't rest. I should think you thought this was going to be a nice, fluffy message. I just thought I'd get that out from the beginning, right? In Scripture, we read of refreshment by resting on the Sabbath, with cool water from physical activity, by soothing music, and with encouraging fellowship. We're going to look at most of those today. That was Daily Bread said that. So here's the truth that I want us to see this morning. You must be refreshed continually in order to effectively serve the Lord or to do anything. And I want us to see this morning a number of areas. I'm not going to tell you how many, because you'll have a heart attack. I want to see a number of areas this morning in which I think we should be refreshed. The list could go on and on, but I've chosen some of these that I think will be really important. Number one, be refreshed in redemption. And redemption. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And ye shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." When's the last time you took some time to just think about your salvation and what it meant, what the course of your family, how it would have taken if salvation hadn't come to your family, whether you're first generation, second generation, third generation Christian, what would have happened if salvation hadn't come, and how refreshing it is to live for God. You know, sometimes we just go through life forgetting what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. When we repented of our sins and trusted Him as our Savior, and how that load was taken off. You're like, well, I was five and there was no load taken off. Oh, there was. There was. All of us were born sinners. Have you forgotten what your salvation means? And do you take it for granted that you're saved, and just how refreshing that can be in itself? You look at the world sometimes and you think, that's what you call fun? It's amazing. So be refreshed, number one, in redemption. Be refreshed, number two, in rest. Actual rest. Romans chapter 15 and verse 32. The Apostle Paul says that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. That particular word refreshed there means to take rest together. It came to mean to rest or to refresh one spirit with another. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the message. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. And the king and all the people that are with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. That word literally means to take a breath. To refresh oneself. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word is translated rest, refresh, take rest, give rest, take ease. To cause to permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. When's the last time you sat and did nothing? Some of you are like, you do know that I have toddlers in the house. I understand that. I get weary watching you sometimes. But the point is, God says you have to rest. You guys are looking at me like calves looking at new gates this morning. Can I tell you, I want to be as blunt as I can be with this point. If you're not taking the time to rest, you're disobeying God. It's throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, pre-law and so forth. It's all the way through it. Critically important. A 1998 article states, and I realize 1988 is 20 years ago. I tried to update these stats but couldn't find them, but it's still staggering. As a nation, we in the United States of America consume 5 billion tranquilizers. 5 billion barbiturates. 3 billion methamphetamines every year. Shauna and David Murray, in a book called Refresh, says, "We underestimate the impact of an exhausted body on our mind and our soul." Psalms 127 and verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Again, another author, "We are sleeping," now get this, "we are sleeping between 1 and 2 hours fewer per night than people did 60 years ago, and between 2.5 hours fewer than 100 years ago." Do you think we're better off? All you got to do is look at the medical statistics and it'll tell you we're not. We're not. Karen Swallow Pryor wrote this, "Our need for rest is so central to our humanity that God set aside one day a week for it. Rest is often treated less like friend and more like foe." We have a Bible illustration of this, don't we? The story of Elijah. Elijah was under intense pressure. He had all kinds of things going on. Eventually, a drought was there. Ahab, he was preaching to Ahab, which would have been quite an interesting in and of itself. He eventually meets the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He has a day-long, I mean, it takes a lot of work to make fun of people. But that's what Elijah did quite a bit, didn't he? And then eventually he kills, depending on how you want to interpret that, different people do differently, anywhere from 450 to 850 prophets. That's a full day's work right there. Then he ran, again, the equivalency of either a half marathon or a full marathon, depending on what Bible dictionary you look at for how long he ran. And then he went a full day's journey into the wilderness. And then what did he do? "God, kill me. I'm tired of living. Just be done with it." That's interesting. Elijah's not thinking clearly. Because if he'd have wanted to be dead, he could have stayed back where he was and Jezebel would have accommodated him. That's why he went a day's journey in the wilderness. I love what God does here. God doesn't even answer him. He puts him to sleep, wakes him up and feeds him, puts him to sleep, wakes him up and feeds him, puts him to sleep. Pretty powerful, isn't it? That's what God did for him. Sleep and eat, sleep and eat, sleep. And then God said, "Okay, Elijah, here's what I want you to do next." I love the text of Scripture. God never even addresses, "Kill me." Doesn't even deal with it at all, period. He knew where Elijah was. He knew he was exhausted. I've said often, but I mean it, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Do you believe the lie that if I neglect my body, my soul and mind will still flourish? When's the last time you set aside time to rest? Time to rest. So be refreshed in redemption. Be refreshed in rest. Number 3, be refreshed in romance. It's Valentine's week, right? Perfect. Some of you just got real nervous. Do you know God as one author said, David Clark wrote a book, Kiss Me Like You Mean It. It is a fabulous book. It's for people that's a little bit older in married life. Fantastic. I picked it up in a secular bookstore. I thought, that looks kind of interesting. I thought, I think I'm going to buy that. It was like $3 or $4. And I think we were actually in Gatlinburg. It is a fabulous book. Kiss Me Like You Mean It. Good title too, isn't it? It got my attention. That's why I bought the book. He says in that book, God is the source of true passion in marriage. It comes from Him and only from Him. He continues, great passion cannot exist without great friendship. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 16, His mouth is most sweet, yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. When's the last time you had a date? When's the last time you laughed together? When's the last time you just played together, played a game or done something together? As a married couple,
we're married.
I know. Be refreshed in romance. Again, I love how he puts this. This is great. He said, you had a nice time, you say? A date is not supposed to be a nice time. You had a nice time with your mother or your Aunt Bertha. A real date with your spouse ought to be fun, stimulating, romantic, sensual. That's why you got married. I love it. It's great. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, arise up, my love, and my fair one, come away. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 13. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency, for your lack of self-control. Be refreshed in romance. You're like, we don't have the money. What do you mean you don't have the money? It didn't cost money to be romantic. Like, we got kids in the house. How many got kids in the house? Raise your hand really high. How many got kids in the house? You know what we can do? There's tons of families around here. How about we swap kids? You keep my kids on one weekend and we'll be free at home, and then I'll keep your kids this weekend and we'll be free at home. We got a Friday night and all day Saturday. We can just spend it together by ourselves with no kids running around. Great idea, right? It doesn't cost you a dime. I'm serious. Do it. Spend some time together. You need it. The Word of God says so. When's the last time you and your mate had time alone? Time alone. We're done with that. You can calm down now. Be refreshed in redemption. Be refreshed in rest. Be refreshed in romance. Number 4, be refreshed in relationships. Relationships. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. This is, by the way, this was the one that I was the most surprised about how much the Bible had to say about this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Again, that word refresh means to refresh one's spirit, to cool off or to recover from the effects of heat. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 17 and following. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortuitus and Achaicus. Why? For that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceeding the more joyed we the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Acts chapter 27 and verse 3. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go with his friends to refresh himself. Wow. Do you just spend time with friends? We're so busy in this society today that not only do we not have time to rest, and not only do we not have time for God, and not only do we not have time for our mates, but we don't have time for each other either. But God talks a lot about that in the Word of God. Lisa and I, we've been continuing to go to the Youth Pastors Conference, and you may ask, why do you keep going to that? There's two reasons. One, I love youth ministry, just in case you didn't know that. There's actually three reasons. Two, 95% of what's told there really has nothing to do with youth ministry and everything to do with just ministry. And three, friends. Friends. It's so refreshing. That's when I read this in the text, I'm like, duh, yes, that's what you feel when you're with friends and you just laugh together. We've got some stories you wouldn't believe. I remember one night walking back from the coffee shop, Cool Beans there at the Wilds, and we got to laughing with Jeremy and Sherry, who are dear friends. They're there every year too. And you could hear it echoing all over the campsite. And my wife actually, you don't mind me telling this to you, but I won't tell the whole thing, but she's already laughing. See, when it's cold and she walks uphill, she has a hip problem. Her hip just gets out a little bit and it starts hurting. And so she kind of saying, oh, wait a minute, I need to pause and let my hip kind of go back in. And it will go back in. Well, Jeremy didn't let that go. He started making fun of her, What's the matter? Is that an old injury from your former days? Were you a can-can girl? Were you whatever? And he was joking. I said, don't have a spaz. We're dying laughing. Matter of fact, when we finally get into the rooms, we're like, shh, people are asleep. It's refreshing. It's refreshing to laugh sometimes. The pulpit commentary says this: the presence of Christian friends is much, but their conversation, the opening of their hearts, the inquiry concerning our labors, successes, and failures, these are all much to be desired. Not only the communication of knowledge and advice from our superiors, but the friendly conversation of our equals, and even the sympathy and heart revelation of those in some respects beneath us, may prove truly recruiting to our energies and restorative to our spirits. Matthew Elud, in his book, The Power of Rest, Why Sleep Alone Is Not Enough, says this: friendships reduce depression and improve our immune system. Harvard University researchers found a strong connection between success and the amount of love enjoyed in life. Isn't that amazing? The deeper scientists and researchers get, the more they prove the Bible to be true. Do you have friends you just enjoy being around? Have you taken the time to just be together? Just enjoy being together. When's the last time you had a good laugh? Just a good laugh. We'll get to that in just a minute too. Hang on. Number five, be refreshed in reflection. Be refreshed in reflection. That is an evaluation of life. When's the last time you just stopped and thought, where has God brought me and where am I headed? Can I say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith, or the faith. Can I say that? Do I know where I'm headed and what's going on, and what does God want for me there? And can I rejoice in what He's done for me in the past? Can I see that all the things He's brought me through, He brought me to for such a time as this? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are you satisfied with where you're headed in life? Do you know where you're headed? Number six, be refreshed in renewal. Be refreshed in renewal. In other words, are you growing? Are you growing in areas of reading, of learning, of meditation, of time in God's Word? Are you closer to God than you were? Do you know more today than you did a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, last year? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11, for as the rain cometh down, we got that today, right? And the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. As rain refreshes the earth, and as rain washes away the filth of the earth, and as rain causes fruit to be produced in all kinds of ways, so God's Word does for us those very things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." That word renewed is a new strength, a vigor that's given to one. In other words, God wants to continually renew us even through this book, through other books, through other reading, through all kinds of stuff. God wants to do that. You ought to be growing. By the way, if you're not growing, you're either stagnant or going backwards. Like, I don't have time. That's the point of the message. Take the time. Even a few minutes a day. Renewal. This book, Refresh, was primarily written to women. Her and her husband wrote it, but it was primarily written to women. She recommends men read it because it's helpful for them, and it was a very good book. From Murray, she says this, "One of the first things I try to do when counseling women with depression is to have them schedule an hour in the day when they stop what they are doing, find a quiet spot, read a book, do something creative, just rest. Just be renewed. By the way, your children can learn to sit and be quiet. They don't always get what they want. They can learn, no, this is time for you to sit and be quiet. Like where they cut their arm off. Okay, you're being exaggerational here, okay? Obviously, there's emergencies, but I'm saying take some choices to renew. What are you doing to personally grow and stay fresh? How have you stretched yourself lately? Just stretch yourself. Well, I'm too old to learn nothing. Really? Do you think that's what God intended for you? To just crust away now? I don't think that's what He intended. He wants us to constantly be doing that. Number 7, be refreshed in reward. Be refreshed in reward. Now, think with me for a moment. We'll get to some passage of Scripture here in a minute. Why do Olympic athletes go through all that they go through to get to an Olympic Games? And I mean, some of these people work unbelievable hours. 10, 12 hours a day. Incredible. And why? Because they want this little gold piece and all the money that comes with it, right? I mean, some Olympic gold medalists, if they're amateurs before they won the gold, I remember hearing one person won a gold medal late night. By the next morning, they had signed endorsement deals in the millions of dollars. But all that's temporal. But the point I'm trying to make is they have a reward down there that they're striving for, that they've worked their whole life for. I accidentally saw something this morning. I taped some Olympics last night because I'm not staying up till 11 o'clock at night watching it. I'd like to be refreshed when I preach to you this morning, right? And I was going to watch it this afternoon, some of it. I love the snowboarding competition, particularly them coming down that hill, flying and doing, you know, like 80 flips in the air. I mean, not quite that many, but amazed at it. Well, this morning I forgot that happened last night, and I was planning to watch it this afternoon. And 17-year-old American took the gold medal last night. He's 17. That's what he's dreamed of. He couldn't wait to get there. I saw his first run last night, and it was not good. As a matter of fact, his second run wasn't good. I didn't get to see his third run, but it must have been pretty good. He took home the gold medal last night, right? The reward. That's what he was striving for. Okay, do we have a reward? We do. Paul says, I'm striving for the prize. I've accomplished what God wanted me to, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Jesus is going to bring His rewards with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Do you know how quickly wood, hay, and stubble go up? I did something this year after Christmas that actually scared me. We had quite a large Christmas tree this year, and I couldn't get it back out the door, so I brought my Sawzall in and just whacked it all up, you know, stuffed it in a trash can. And I've got a little fire bin out back. It's one of these metal fire bins. And so I piled all the limbs of the tree in there, and then I cut the trunk up and laid it on top. And I thought, a couple of days later, I thought, you know, I'm going to burn that and just be done with it, not have to take it to the dump and all that kind of stuff. And so I put a piece of newspaper in there and lit it on fire. And in seconds, it did push me back from the fire, how quickly it ignited. And matter of fact, this fire bin that I have sitting here, there's some power lines, not exactly over it, but off just a little bit. And they're probably, I'm going to guess they're 25 foot in the air, I'm guessing. I don't know exactly, 20 foot in the air. I don't know if some of you electrical guys can tell me what standard lines are, but it's up there, and the flames were reaching to it. And I'm thinking, you know, if it melts that outer cable and then the line collapses, it's probably not a good thing, especially since it's not feeding my house, it's feeding my neighbor's houses, you know. And it was like, I told Lisa, that was scary at how quickly it ignited. And you know what? It was gone. Boom. Done. I mean, even the little limbs and all that, done. I mean, it was over with. That's the idea of this passage in 1 Corinthians. It's gone. Are we living for the day when you can be rewarded for your faithfulness? Are you living this day with that day in view? Lastly, now you know how many points I have, right? Number 8, be refreshed in rejoicing. Be refreshed in rejoicing. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Let me have joy and be refreshed. This was a staggering statistic. You ready for this? The average adult laughs 25 times a day. Some of you are less than that. You'll get that in a few minutes. Some of you didn't even laugh at that. The average adult laughs 25 times a day. The average child, 400. Well, that's because they don't understand the pressures of life. They don't even have any worries. All they have to do is just enjoy life and just walk around like my dad's got everything under control and I don't have to worry about it. They just play with their toys. And are you listening to yourself? Because your dad's got everything under control. And you can just live life with joy and don't worry about it. Right? Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, "Then he saith unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For the day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Nehemiah is saying, this is the Lord's day. Have a great time. Enjoy eating. Enjoy being together. Just enjoy it. Do you look around you and see the problems and the things you don't like? Or do you see the blessings? Are you living life rejoicing or complaining? Quickly, let me close with a couple of quotes and we'll be done. J.R. Thompson in the pulpit commentary says, "These six things happen when we are refreshed." I thought it was interesting. Number 1, depression gives way to cheerfulness. Number 2, weariness gives place to vigor. Number 3, sluggishness gives place to vivacity. Number 4, despondency gives place to hope. Number 5, inefficiency gives place to successful labor. Number 6, doubt gives place to living confidence. Now, if you were to take those six things and put them in a column, which one do you think matches the Word of God? Matthew Henry says, there is self-love, which is corrupt and the root of the greatest sins, and it must be put off and mortified. But there is a self-love which is the rule of the greatest duty. We must have a due concern for the welfare of our own souls and bodies, and we must love our neighbors as truly and sincerely as we love ourselves. Again, Murray says, a grace-paced life involves recognizing God's grace in all the different refreshment stops He has placed for us along life's way. Will you take the time to be refreshed? Be refreshed. Now, you can walk out of here and say, that would be great if I could live that way. You can, if you choose to. It may mean you have to say no sometimes. It may mean that you just have to carve out some things somewhere. But if God figured a donkey needed to rest once a week, so do you. We all need it. Matter of fact, I want to challenge you. We've got just a few minutes before we have to be in Sunday school. But I want to challenge you. Before this day is done, choose at least one of these in which you're going to actively lay a plan out to do sometime this week. Let's choose one. We're going to work on this somehow in here. We're going to get rest. Or we're going to do something. We're going to have some friends over to be here. Whatever it may be, actively work on it. Doesn't do us any good to walk out of a message and not apply it. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Father, we thank you for your word. We sure need it. I need it. I need to be reminded of these things. And the truth is, we live in such a fast-paced society that sometimes we're too busy to stop and do some things that you've very clearly said were both beneficial and commanded in your word. Help us as a church family to be refreshed. And we'll thank you for these things. In your name we pray. Amen.